Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of the Scare Track podcast, a podcast supported by the Haunted Attractions Network. On today's show, we have the return of our news and rumours section. Our feature section is a discussion on ScareCon's annual SCAR Award nominations. We have the return of the spooky movie discussion, and we finish it off with our listener feedback. My name is Mikey. I'm in the studio with Hannah today. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going really well. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, not too bad. Sean is back on the show. Sean, we've missed you the last few episodes.
Thank you guys for, you know, doing the episodes and everything whilst I've been, you know, entering the real world of work.
Yeah, and you are becoming a man in the air.
I'm like Jesus.
Okay.
But that's sexier. No, I'm joking.
You're like a sexy Jesus.
This has got weird.
Yeah, it always gets. Anyway, yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Thank you for, you know, doing the shows. And I'm happy to be back. You know, this show nearly didn't happen, did it?
No, totally. It's all been a little bit crazy with work schedules, but we needed to get this show out. The nominations have been out for a little bit of time now, and last year our SCAR Awards show hit lots and lots and lots of downloads. So we definitely needed one again to bump them up. and also it's probably a perfect one to have just before ScareCon.
Yay!
Which is only in a couple of weeks now, so...
Can't believe how quick it's come round again.
Like, big time. And it's weird because it's actually, if we were going to have it the same time this year as we did last year, it would have already gone.
Yeah.
So it's like a month later as well. It's gone mega fast.
I haven't even started the costumes.
I know, God.
I know, I'm still having difficulty. You know, I'm a man, and you know this already, I'm a man that just doesn't, I do things all last minute, don't I?
Yeah.
And
I know you're very annoyed with that because of particular things, but Michael messaged me last night and said, Sean, are you coming to ScareCon? And I was like, yeah, of course I am. And he was like, well, there's like no tickets left. And I was like, what? So yeah, I need to, I'm going to book my tickets tomorrow.
Awesome. We need to do the same.
Bloody hell.
Have you not booked your tickets yet?
No.
No, we're skint.
We've got to wait till I get paid.
Ah, fair enough. Well, I'm in the same boat as you guys then.
Oh, I hope we don't miss out.
No, we won't. Don't you worry, we won't. We'll get them sorted. Right, so, like we said earlier, this is episode 44. It's June 2017, and it's now time for our news and rumours.
The UK Scare Attraction News and Rumours.
Now, as many of you may know, it's been a little while since our last news and rumours section, but we are going to give you the most recent up-to-date news from the month of June. If we were to give you everything for the last 3 months, the whole show would be about news. So like we said before, just going to get you up-to-date with the news from this last few weeks in the month of June. If you do want to get all the news up-to-date all the time, we've said it before, head over to good friends of ours, ScareTour, head over to their Facebook page. Michael and the ScareTour team literally release everything, literally something every single day. So, yeah, if you want all the up-to-date news and rumours, head over to ScareTour.
Borditch Hauntfest have revealed their 2017 lineup. There's a few changes and some returning mazes, but the most exciting news for us is the award-winning Biometrics is returning as Biometrics Sub-Zero, a futuristic revamp for the incredibly intense scare attraction.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to experiencing that one this year, because I did miss out on it last year.
When did we do it? We did it during ScareCon Aftershock a couple of years ago, and it is quite an intense, very physical, not demanding as such, but a very physical kind of attraction, if that makes sense. What's next?
Well, next is Scare Kingdom. They have revealed their brand new lineup for 2017, so be sure to head over to the Scare Kingdom Facebook page for their press release. The biggest news, however, is the announcement that Psychomantium is set to return.
Do you feel about that? I want to be like, yay, because I've been through Psychomantium, and I don't think I would have ever have gone through the snuff houses. So, yay, that attraction's back because I'm willing to go through it. But then... oh, I don't like going through it.
I know what you mean. It's it's intense, but for me, it's more the psychosexual kind of thing, which I can kind of get on with.
You've always said they could push you further.
True. So
is this the one that they had like naked people in?
Yeah, there was naked people, and the naked people sat on us.
Why have I not done this attraction before?
Big willies and everything, Sean. Big willies.
Unfortunately, it wasn't there last year. So I managed to do Snuff House, but Psychomantium is the one that reached international newspapers.
Yeah, it's in the Sun, wasn't it? Psychosexual.
Which I would gladly wear that on a t-shirt. Psychosexual.
Totally. So we're all for Psychomantium making its return.
Yay! Awesome.
Thought Park, in other news, had a mini makeover on Derren Brown's Ghost Train one day last week when the leaders of the political parties literally chased you out the attraction with giant, terrifying-looking head masks. We've actually voted today. I'm not going to say who for. I voted for whoever I damn well like. Thank you, Facebook. we've made our vote. But
that would terrify me, I think.
They were scary-looking masks, I'm going to be honest. I mean, not being funny, Theresa May looks frigging terrifying anyway.
Were good masks.
Going on the ghost train know that that was going to happen?
Yeah, I think so, because there was a press release about it, like a video about it.
Because imagine if you didn't know and you've been on it before.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. Nice shocker for you. But it's cool that they're trying to sort of engage young people to vote in. They say that... is it between 18 and 24s is the least amount of people to vote? So,
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll probably get shouted at, but I haven't done a vote.
You haven't voted, Sean.
I haven't voted.
You can't
voted.
Judge. We've never voted before.
I voted.
I've never voted before.
But anyway, that's a different subject.
Yeah. Move on.
Alien Escape, the attraction based on Ridley Scott's Alien franchise, is set to open at Madame Tussauds London next month. This surprises me.
Yes, why?
Alien Covenant has bombed, so they said they're not going to make the other two in the franchise, the other two films that they said they were going to make that would lead you up to Prometheus, which came out a couple of years ago.
It bombed, but the original three are still
The original three
classics.
Are still good, but it just seems like a weird time for Two Swords to jump on it as it's bombing.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know about you, but I saw the film and I wasn't impressed.
No, I wasn't compared to the originals.
No.
Mikey hasn't watched them.
Yeah, but you haven't watched the new one.
I haven't watched the originals, actually.
What?
I know. But I think it's just, Merlin, because it's a big franchise.
I just hope I hope that they base it on the old ones, because the new ones wasn't that good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll find out. Anyway, so ScareCon, we were talking about earlier, it's only a short couple of weeks away. I believe we have the latest information that there are 50 tickets left. So don't be a Sean, Mikey and Hannah and book your tickets quickly.
Oh, God.
Luckily, I spoke to Michael and I said, please, whatever you do, save me a ticket.
So that means there's, if he's done that for three of us, there's now 47 tickets available.
Okay.
Speaking of ScareCon, ScareTrack recently announced that we are teaming up with the Frequent Fear guys and ScareCon itself to bring you an extreme attraction panel. If you have any questions to haunt owners or visitors of these extreme attractions, please send them to the show, to us at ScareTrack, to ScareCon directly, or the Frequent Fear guys. We'll give you the details on how to do that at the end of the show.
We also want to say thank you to Return of the Living Podcast and Europe Haunts for advertising our exciting announcement. So thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thanks for that, guys. We always appreciate that. Matthias at Europe Haunts, thank you very much for the share of the show. And Return of the Living Podcast, guys, as always, thank you very much for plugging the show. It's always great to listen to your show too. And it's great to have Teddy on as well. Hannah's looking at me blankly because you haven't listened to the last show. Teddy's a funny guy. Teddy's a funny guy. So let's carry on with the show.
It's the ScareTrack Spooky Movie Discussion.
So before we get to our feature section, it's the return of our spooky movie discussion. We recently went old school and watched the 1988 original Child's Play. Hannah, what did you think?
Well, I've seen it before, so I thought it was quite good. It's not my favourite film in the Child's Play franchise, but it's considering old. It's, what, 30 years old?
30 years next year.
30 years old now, I think that's actually... You know, the graphics in it were actually not too bad,
not too,
you know,
bad for the actual, yeah, the actual facial expressions of the doll. I mean, I'd never seen it before, you know. I was a scary movie virgin till I met Hannah, so I'd never seen it before, but it was quite fun. It was obviously dated.
Didn't seem as dated as some of the horror films we've watched recently, like Friday the 13th or Halloween.
Yeah, it didn't seem quite as bad.
No, I like this film, though. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I can't remember all the details, but I just remember it being, you know, obviously it's a classic film and it's a cult classic, but I remember thinking it's just a nice chilled... I know this sounds weird for a horror film, but it's an easy watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's chilled, quite an easy watch.
Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're a horror fan, you know, just stick it on and something that you could chill and watch.
Yeah, totally. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. So like we say, we always put that on our Facebook when we're watching a spooky movie. We had a little bit of feedback from our listeners too. Amy Elizabeth Duggan just said the word hilarious. You can kind of get that. It's kind of funny. And Lou Jones said, absolutely terrified me when I was a kid. I can understand that. If I was watching that as a kid, I remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch used to scare me when she had the Molly Dolly.
I'm a Molly Dolly.
Still scares me right now.
I don't even remember.
Oh,
what?
God. That was my to watch era. It was terrifying. And Toby Brandon from Twins of Evil said, what an incredible franchise. We agree.
I agree.
It went on to be quite a classic.
Up until Seed of Chucky, I have to say.
Okay, do you want to know a fun fact with the Seed of Chucky?
Yeah.
So, fun fact is one of my friends was in the Seed of Chucky as a child.
Really?
What?
Yeah. So, I at school I studied drama and I did like A-level drama and all that kind of stuff. And during the during our like school years, she was a year younger than me, and we just, you know, we became friends through mutual interests of, you know, drama, studying drama, and then also we both worked at Tully's Farm Shocktoberfest and did some Halloween events. And then we got talking, and I found out she used to have like an agent and blah blah blah, and that, and she was like, yeah, I've been in a film before, and she was like, The Seed of Chucky, and I was like, and she turned around and was like, yeah, I played Human Glenda. And I was like, first off, who the fuck is Human Glenda? And apparently it's, see, I get a bit like, this film kind of fucks me up because I don't get the ending.
I haven't watched it yet. I think we're gonna have a bit of a marathon on it, so don't tell me.
Right.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, you need to watch it. I'm not gonna give any like spoilers away, but the ending's a bit confusing when apparently her role was, she played the human the human girl version of the child from Chucky and the bride doll.
I'm confused.
Because they okay. Again, I haven't watched it in a long time, but there's another character in The Seed of Chucky that's like a younger, I think is the son of Chucky. And basically, my friend played the human version of the doll, but as a girl. And all her cameo on this was looking through a window at Jennifer Tilly. And it's the very, very ending where Jennifer Tilly is kind of killing someone. And she's looking through the window. And I was like, So I watched this whole movie. When she told me she was in it, I purchased the film off like iTunes. And I watched the film. I watched the entire film. I was like, well, I still haven't fucking seen her yet. I still haven't seen her. And literally, she's at the end for about 3 seconds looking through a window.
She might get 30 pence every time that film is bought.
I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe we should invite her to ScareCon and people can have a photo.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah. But that's my fun fact.
Oh, I like it. I like that. Thank you, Sean. And thank you guys for joining us on the discussion. Remember, you can join in on the next discussion by just liking the ScareTrack Facebook page. Remember, when you're on the page on your iPhone or tablet, just hit the 3 small dots at the top right hand of the screen. I've put left here. At the right of the screen when the page is up, just click the notifications. You can click so you never miss a ScareTrack post. Other than that, we have to pay for it for you to be able to see them, so we don't really want to do that. So let's move on to the feature section. You're listening to ScareTrack. Right, so we are going to discuss ScareCon annual awards, which are known as the SCAR Awards, the 2017 SCAR Awards, and we've got lots of different nominations, lots of different categories. So I think the best thing to do is literally just to go through the ScareCon website. If you want to join us for this, just click www.scarecon.org so you can sort of follow on as we discuss them. Now, obviously, we have to kind of be unbiased. Well, we could be biased because we've visited some and whatnot. It's not our choice on who wins and such. We just want to say what we do enjoy, what we didn't enjoy as much. And there might be some instances where we haven't been to any of the attractions, or we wish we could have, or we've heard, or we've read reviews and such. So it's just a general little chit-chat about the SCAR Awards.
Yeah. Yep. So There's 16 categories.
Right, so let's go through them. Let's not do what we did last year and spent like 15 minutes on the first three and then just had to skip through the last three.
No.
Ooh, so, yeah. Year-round scare attraction. This is one of the big ones. Best year-round scare attraction. The nominations are Passage del Terror at Blackpool, Dread Glasgow, the Ghost Bus Tours, London Dungeon, the London Bridge Experience featuring the London Tombs, and Edinburgh Dungeon. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think the LBE and London Tombs have won this the last 3 years running.
Yeah, sure they have.
And well-deserved as well.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Passage might be in the running.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Just so from my perspective, I just feel Passage del Terra, you know, it's had a bit of a tricky few years, hasn't it? Let's be honest, like the one in London's closed down. I know a couple of others have closed down.
I think it's the last one, isn't it, Blackpool?
I think so, yeah. But I think it's still doing such a good job. You know, it's the only attraction that features, you know, franchise films, whether or not
they're copyrighted or not.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, if you want to go to a place where you can get scared by Michael Myers, I don't know if they still have that scene.
Well, it's a scene with a man in a boiler suit with a mask on his face. Whether or not it's advertised as Michael Myers is another story.
Of course.
And there's also a girl throwing up in a bed, convulsing. But we can neither confirm of who that character is or what film she is from.
Do you know what the mask is from Halloween?
No.
It's he was in Star Trek. He's famous.
Oh.
Oh, what's his name?
the films were shit, so guy. I'm not too bothered. Right, but yeah, Sean, you're saying that Passage may be your winner there? You think it could be up for the running?
For me, you know, the Ghostbusters tour, I've Dread Glasgow Ghostbusters tour, I've never personally experienced.
The Ghostbusters tour was fun. We did that a couple of years ago at a ScareCon. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, I did do it on ScareCon a couple of years ago. And yes, it was fun. And, you know, London Dungeons, you know, that's kind of scary educational.
Yes, yeah. I think that may be an educational category, if it's in this category this year. So,
I
mean, year-round scare attraction, it's, you know, it's London Dungeon and Edinburgh Dungeon would class themselves as not being a scare attraction.
Yeah.
We've had many a letter telling us that. So...
who's to say?
Right, next up we have the best Halloween scare attraction. Now this is really the pinnacle of the awards. The best Halloween scare attraction. We have The Sickness at Scare Kingdom Scream Park, The Tomb Afterlife at Yorkshire Scare Grounds, Coven of 13 at Tully's Shocktoberfest, Madhouse Margate, It's Alive at Dr. Fright's Halloween Nights, Autumnville Mine Tours Uncover the Legend of the Skin Snatchers at Autumn Towers Resort. Sean, have you been? You've probably been through most of these, have you?
I have, yeah. Which is a first to say. So I enjoyed The Sickness at Scare Kingdom. Again, I mentioned this on a previous show. We were the last group to go through Scare Kingdom.
Yes, I remember.
And we were also the very last people to go through the attraction. So for me, it felt really rushed. And we unfortunately had one of, you know, the crew. I can't remember what, you know, the technical word for them are. But we had a work crew member behind us with a clipboard following us. And then as we left the scene, she would then tell the actor, right, you can go on break. We're finished now. We're all done. And you could clearly hear her when, you know, we were going round. And it might have not made a difference to, you know, people that haven't been through an attraction before. But for someone like me that always looks back, you know, it was just really off-putting knowing that she was going round telling everyone. But anyway, as a attraction, it was really good.
That's cool.
And so, yeah, I definitely see that, why it's been nominated.
We didn't get
to
go to Scare Kingdom last year because we were so busy for 2.5 weeks with America. We only got to do very few English attractions. But this, Scare Kingdom are always known for having fantastic sets, I think, on most of their attractions. I think Yorkshire Scare Grounds are the same, but they don't like us. So, Tully's Shocktoberfest, they again also have awesome set design, and the Coven of 13 was really impressive. That first scene, I kind of don't want to talk about the first scene because I'm guessing more than likely it's going to come back. But it was something so simple but so effective, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I understand why it's in the running, and it is very simple, like you said, Mikey. But I really liked it. It's such a clever.
Definitely. It's Alive at Dr. Fright's Halloween Nights. You've always said that's the sort of place that wears its heart on its sleeve. Yeah. They only have 2 weeks to set up in an empty field and 2 weeks to get out of an empty field. So they do a really impressive job. And It's Alive was really quite enjoyable, actually. That was really fun. Autumnville Mine Tours. I think the maze was solid, but I think the help of the Haunted Lanterns on your heads really worked with that, definitely.
Yeah.
Which I think it's good to see someone taking the Haunted Lanterns and actually using them. And
yeah.
Because, you know, we've seen them sort of floating around for so long where they haven't actually ended up in a maze. That I think it's just really good to see them in a maze being used to their full potential.
Yeah, I think for me that's the winner.
It could be up there, definitely. Madhouse Margate, unfortunately, we weren't able to visit. Did you visit Madhouse, Sean?
No, I couldn't get down. No.
It's so far away, Margate.
I know.
So far away. Next up, we had the best out-of-season scare attraction. You want to go through these, Ham?
The Search for Emily, 139 Copeland Road, Goosebumps Alive, Dead Centre, Resident Evil, and Black Christmas.
So, this may be a quick discussion, because I don't think we did any of these.
No, I didn't do any, but... I think the one that we're both going to talk about is Goosebumps Live.
I've heard some amazing... Apparently, as far as immersive theatre goes, Goosebumps Alive was apparently absolutely incredible.
Mm. Yeah. And the sets. I mean, I saw some photos of the sets in their press release, and it was just phenomenal, you know? Absolutely incredible set design.
Awesome. Yeah, it was. I'm really gutted we couldn't get down there for that. But also, we're speaking to Michael Bolton from Scaretour and Scarecon, and he got to visit Resident Evil. And unfortunately, that was for a very, very, very select amount of people. You had to get there really early in the morning. But he said that was one of the best things he's done in a very long time. But also, 139 Copeland Road, I heard Nick Hudson talk about that. That seemed incredible. So there's so many. All of them could win this, really. And all of them are definitely worthy of being nominations. So good luck to all you guys there for the Best Out of Season Scare Attraction.
Absolutely.
Do you want to go through the next one, Sean?
Yeah, sure. Next is Best Zombie Experience. So we have End of Days Events, Zombie Encounters, Zed Events, Zombie Uprising, Zombie Boot Camp, and Zombie Infection. And lastly, we have Lockdown by Immersive Events. Lots of zombie experiences there.
Yeah, zombies are taking over the world still, aren't they?
They are.
I've been to a couple of these. I've been to the Zombie Boot Camp, which was, I'd say, from what I've seen, the most intense physically. You have to wear like army gear and riot shields. That there wasn't so much of a story there. It was more like an army training thing, which was really fun, but more for the manly men and literally I was like a little butterfly amongst a load of tarantulas in that room.
Ooh.
That's a weird analogy. I know. But I was shit scared. And I've also been to Lockdown by Immersive Events. Last year it's sort of like in three different parts: Lockdown, Sanatorium, and then again there's another one this year, which is more of the run away from zombies and find the clues and get what you need. I don't think we've done the others. Hannah, you've met the Zed Events guys at Download Festival a few years ago.
Yeah, that was like 2014.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, but you've met the guys there, and obviously we know Adele and Steve from Zed Events, really good stuff going on there. And the End of Days events, we speak to them a lot on Twitter, so hey guys from the End of Days events. But unfortunately, we haven't been to any of those other attractions yet. It's just so difficult to get all around the country, really. Sean, have you visited any of these zombie experiences?
I haven't, no. Zombies aren't really my thing.
No, that's understandable, I guess. It's more of a mainstream thing, I think, which is good for the companies because they're going to make money off like Joe Public. But I'd definitely say zombies are more of a general public kind of thing at the minute.
I'd take work there. I think it'd be a good sort of team bonding thing with work.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think these, you know, there's so many of these things out there at the moment that, you know, it's easy to find on Groupon, you know, these team zombie survival activity things. So I think it's definitely a really good market. And yeah, zombies were really cool a couple of years ago. Not to say they're not still cool, but, you know, zombies are slowly dying out.
Zombies.
In my mind.
Well, he's hoping for the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So the next group of nominations are for the Best Original Concept and Design. This is quite a fun one. We have Boiled by Hide and Shriek, Altonville Mine Tours, Uncover the Legend of the Skin Snatchers at Alton Towers Resort, Platform 15 at Thorpe Park Resort, Dr. Fright's Movie Decades, The Flesh Pot, York Maze Howlow Scream, and The Offering at Frightmare Over Farm. I only got to do two of these, which was Orton Towers and Dr. Fright's. I did like Dr. Fright's movies idea. The fact that each maze you went in was basically a maze themed to an era, whether it be the 50s, the 60s, the 80s, the noughties, that was really quite impressive. And we've already spoke about Skin Snatchers, the original concept of having the haunted lantern on your head, but it was quite impressive. Sean, I'm guessing you visited Platform 15 at Thorpe Park.
Yeah. And I, you know, quickly I want to touch on this. It won't win.
Sure.
If you're being honest, you weren't a fan. Honestly, you try find me a fan. If there's a fan out there that liked Platform 15 at Thorpe Park, then, I'll be shocked.
If you are a fan and you're listening right now and you did like Platform 15, let us know.
Please write in.
Mikey and I didn't get to see it because we were jetting off to sunny Florida. So we've only got Sean's sort of
opinion. Sean, why didn't like it, mate? Let's not be too negative on the show, but why didn't you like it?
Because this wasn't an attraction. This was like
a walk in the woods, wasn't it?
This was a walk in. It's not even in the woods. That was, you know, why? I have no words for this. You know, this is not an attraction. This is just a walk where, you know, little happens and it's rubbish.
Okay.
You know, I guess they were trying to, you know, build the suspense with the little walk. It's actually a really nice walk. It goes over a lake.
Take your dog there.
Yeah, but you know, they could have done so much more. They obviously, it's the platform, and they used the old train, and they had some actors on the train, which was really cool. But you know, they just didn't use it to their advantage, and it was rubbish. Absolutely rubbish.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Fair enough, mate.
Thorpe Park have great other great attractions, but this was not their best. Sorry.
Well, no, it's fine. No worries. Obviously, we also had Boiled by Hide and Shriek. Now, we didn't get a chance to go there, but I've been told it's amazing by a few of our listeners, actually. And York Maze and Frightmare River Farm both put on quality attractions as well. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get there, but I do know they put on very good, high quality attractions. So yeah, again, I don't think I could decide on who I think would be the clear winner there. I think Sean knows who the clear loser is, but I don't know who the clear winner is. Moving on, let's go over to our next nomination.
So the next up is Best Set and Costume. So we've got The Coven of 13 at Tully's Shocktoberfest, The Flesh Pot at York Maze Hallow Scream, The Paradise Foundation at Screamland Margate, The Sickness at Scare Kingdom Scream Park, Altonville Mine Tours Uncover the Legend of Skin Snatchers at Alton Towers, and The Tomb Afterlife at Yorkshire Scare Ground.
Well, we only visited one of these, and half of the costume was
two
half-naked people. Oh, yeah, we did do two. We did The Coven of 13. Yeah. Skin Snatchers was...
The beauty of Set and Costume is that you get to see it in photos. So true. In promo and photos.
And in fairness, the Paradise Foundation looked impressive.
And when we were there for ScareCon last year, they came out during a talk.
Yeah. So that...
I remember that.
That looked quite impressive to me. Sean, do you have any thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, do you know what? There are a couple of leaders that I feel... are worthy. Coven of 13, it was good, but I think that would win more of a, you know, an overall attraction design type category. With the costume, you know, I don't think it would win. But with the Sickness at Scare Kingdom Scream Park, I know, you know, Jason, obviously the creative director, he likes things to be authentic. He's got a very good eye for detail. And so he has probably my vote for maybe the winner. Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I haven't actually visited the other attractions apart from Mine Tours.
I think we've visited the Tomb at Yorkshire Scare Grounds, but in previous years when it was something else.
Yeah.
And I do remember, I think it's the one that's sort of like an underground bunker kind of thing.
I think so.
And the actual set of that is really impressive. I think that's the one. Actually, all of them bar one were really impressive sets. The last one I wasn't too sure about, but other than that, Yorkshire Scare Grounds, credit where credit's due, that the actual set there was really amazing.
Yeah.
So what's our next nomination, Sean?
So our next one is Best Multi-Park Event. So we have Horror at Hitching Brook House, Halloween at Neverden Manor, Scaresville, The Haunted Village, Yorkshire Scare Grounds, Scream Factory, Teesside, Scare Kingdom Scream Park. What do you think?
Go on. Sorry.
I was just about to say, I've only ever been to Scare Kingdom Scream Park. I hear good things about Yorkshire Scare Grounds, but, you know, moving on. Scream Factory, Teesside. I know Michael Bolton likes that.
Yeah, I've heard he really enjoyed that, actually. But I've also heard great stuff of Hinchinbrook House and Neverdon Manor, actually.
Yeah, I really liked the review of Hinchinbrook House.
Yeah, it looked really good. In case any of our listeners aren't entirely sure what a multi-part event is, especially to some of our American listeners as well, we have sort of like the two biggies of these awards is sort of like for the best event overall. Like we have farm parks or theme parks or whatnot. Now, we've got one coming up, which is Best Scream Park, which is basically similar to Halloween Horror Nights or Howl-O Scream, or where there's sort of 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 different mazes, you queue up for each one individually. A multi-part event, which is something I'm not entirely sure if you have in the States, but over here we have a few attractions where there's, say, 5 or 6 houses, but you go through all of them on a constant loop. Mm-hmm. So you'd go to house 1, then instantly to house 2, house 3, house 4, house 5. The pros of that is that there's no queue. You only really queue at the very beginning, and then you get to do the whole attraction and you don't have to queue for each individual attraction. Mm. The downside to that is your night is over within the hour.
Yeah.
You can't chill out by the fire. You can't go and get a hot dog. You can't watch the band on the stage. You can't watch the street theatre. It's a very different kind of attraction. Just in case any of our listeners, especially over in the States, and we've got a few all over the world now. So, hey, world listeners. Guten Tag. V-Gates.
Oh, they're only German.
Yeah, the German listeners. That's all I speak. Scare Kingdom Scream Park, as far as multi-part events, I think it's always one that's jumped out at us. Yorkshire Scare Grounds, that's there. Horror at Hinchinbrook, like Hannah said, the review was really impressive on that.
I feel like there's more in the running for this category this year. Like, I have no preference between Scream Park and multi-part event, so I always sort of think, oh, which one? But there's always sort of been like 3 main contenders for me for multi-part event, but I think that this is a solid 6.
That's a good point, actually.
I think it's
more than there has been before, definitely. Awesome. Let's move on. This one now is for the best Scream Park. So the best park in the whole of the UK that has multiple attractions. So we have The Howl, we have Fear at Avon Valley, Tully's Shocktoberfest, Screamfest Burton, Extreme Scream Park, and Frightmare. Now, this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
I know everyone has their favourites and people have their least favourites and such, but I don't know. Hannah, where are you inching on this one? We need to point out that we, as two, because we're man and wife, in case you didn't know, we've been to most attractions together.
You're man and wife?
Not yet, apparently so.
But we've been at Fear at Avon Valley, Tully's Shocktoberfest, Screamfest Burton, and Extreme Scream Park. We only haven't been to The Howl and Frightmare, although we know a lot about them. The Howl originally was sort of supported by Tully's, so it's a sort of Tully's 2.0 kind of thing. Hannah, what do you think is best overall?
I just don't know. It's a toughie. There's so much quality in all of those that it's just a tough one. And I think it could go either way, to be honest, because they've all got some of what I would say are the best mazes of last year.
Yeah, definitely. I know that Fear at Avon Valley, Phobia is absolutely amazing.
And they all give you that experience as well. Every single one of those gives you more than just going into a maze. Like, you've got your street theatre, you've got your entertainment, you've got your food carts.
Yeah.
I mean, even Screamfest Burton, which is probably a little bit smaller than these other ones, they've still got 4 or 5 attractions. And last year they really tried to go all out on stage entertainment. They had a contortionist, they had a comedy act, they had some street theatre. Again, Screamfest Burton, if anyone listened to the show, we were there on a very, very busy night, so that does affect it. The wording of capacity was thrown about a little bit, but they did struggle with the numbers.
Yes.
And it was difficult to get the atmosphere. But again, like I say, you can get that anywhere, I guess, on the very, very busy nights. Extreme Screen Park, I think they've knocked it out the bag recently with their attractions and their more... They don't have, like, scare zones, for really, but they do have a bit of street theatre, and they've gone the more adult route. Like, yeah. I heard swearing, I heard vulgar sort of stuff. They've gone extreme, spelt with an X. And then, obviously, Tully's has always been up there. It's one of the best for street theatre. You can turn around every corner, you've got either someone on stage singing or a fire or a breakout of a maze or street teams. It's a difficult one. Sean, I think I know who you're going to go for.
Who do you think I'm going to go for?
I think you're going to go for Fear at Avon Valley.
Yeah, they, of course.
They are really good. Yeah. Again, they're a fairly new and slightly smaller attraction. The last few years, they've had three attractions. They're getting the fourth this year.
They have a fourth attraction coming this year.
They're really growing and really... It's sometimes not quantity, it's sometimes quality. Yeah. And with all their attractions, it's definitely quality.
That's what I like. You know, there's... I have the pleasure of knowing Jade, Seb and Sam personally. And I know that they're big fans of the Halloween industry and they're big fans of Halloween itself. And so it's nice and refreshing to have people that are actually genuinely excited, you know, for the newest horror film or something new horror related.
Yeah.
And for them to be able to put their passion into, you know, an art form of their scare attractions, and it really does come across. Whereas, you know, some of the bigger attractions here, they lose the sight of quality.
Yeah.
They just think of figures and numbers. Yeah. Whereas I feel, you know, Fear at Avon Valley, as well as Screamfest Burton and Scream Park, they rely on good quality stuff. Not to say, you know, Tully's and the Howe don't rely on good quality stuff. I just think it, you know, it's very mass produced.
Yeah, I can agree.
Cater for the bigger, you know, audience.
Yeah, totally.
Nothing wrong with that, but I like the atmosphere at Fear at Avon Valley.
Yeah, it does have a very nice, a good atmosphere, definitely. And I've heard good things about the atmosphere at Frightmare as well. Mm. We've just been unfortunate to not be able to go, so we can't exactly comment on it. But again, I've seen good stuff about it. Yeah. The good things about us being friendly with many scare attraction enthusiasts and the whole Facebook social media thing is that sometimes when you can't go to an attraction, it sometimes feels like you've been there anyway because you've seen what people have said about it. So, good stuff. Next up, we have the award for technical excellence. Is this a new award?
I don't think so, because last year didn't we have the thing with the truck from?
That was the best sort of special effects scare.
Yeah,
wasn't
I think this might be a spin-off of that award.
Potentially, definitely. So we have Derren Brown's Ghost Train at Thorpe Park. Haunted Lanterns at Altonville Mine Tours uncover the legend of the Skin Snatchers at Alton Towers. Dr. Hades Fear Theatre. Q Extreme Terror. Outbreak Jersey. Jungle NI. Now, I'll go quickly first with this one. One, I've always loved the Haunted Lanterns. And I've always
Lanterns.
Haunted Lanterns. Henk and the team do a really good, impressive sort of... product there, and it's nice that they've finally properly been used quite well in a different kind of way. They're on your head, so you can't drop them, you can't throw them, that kind of thing. Mm. I like that. Derren Brown's Ghost Train, not being funny, it took them 6 months to get it open,
and millions
and like it's one of the most expensive things Merlin had ever done.
Yeah,
and it's just a bit blah until the new. Well, I've heard until the new. Incarnation. Have you done the new incarnation yet, Sean?
Yeah, I think the new incarnation, it would have made it if that's how it was
in the beginning.
At the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
I much prefer the reincarnation. I just think
they took their sweet ass time doing it.
They did take their sweet ass time doing it, and I just think, you know, if I think it was just a waste of money, really. Yeah, they should have invested in a coaster or something, you know.
Or even a dark ride that has been done before, but make it your own.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
like a haunted mansion or even a boat ride. Like, Thorpe Park is screaming out for indoor rides. That's the only one there. And it's always got a huge queue because it's always going down or things like that. But anyway, Dame Brown's Ghost Train, definitely, I think that's... I like the idea, but...
Yeah.
It's a bit meh. Like I say, Haunted Lantern's great. Unfortunately, we haven't been to Jungle NI, Outbreak Jersey, or Q Extreme Terror. We can't, unfortunately, say much about their technical excellence because we haven't seen any of it. So really sorry there, guys. But like I say, you're in this short list of all these attractions across the country. So fair play to you. Kudos. Dr. Hayley's Fear Theatre, when we visited it, it's first time in Birmingham, from the Twisted Attractions guys, we were really, really impressed. It's something like we hadn't quite seen before in the scare attraction industry. There was elements of a 3D, like a 4D cinema, elements of attractions like immersive theatre and elements of live theatre all merged into one. And they had a couple of issues getting it running on the farm. We understand that. It's difficult to completely move your business. But Dr. Hayley's Fear Theatre, when it was at like sort of the Hellfest place in Birmingham by the Twisted Attractions guys, was really, really, really incredibly fun.
Yeah, definitely.
I really enjoyed that. You didn't get a chance to do that, did you, Sean?
No. That's no, unfortunately not.
It was really good. It was really good. And that's actually from a team who are an independent scare company as well. A few others here have been as well, but a lot of them here are... you know, big companies, big scare attractions, big theme parks. There's actually less independent companies nowadays because everyone's pretty much big time. So fair play to the Twisted Attractions for trying something that I think a lot of other attractions on our list would be a little bit too nervous to try. So, Sean, are you still there?
I'm still here, sorry.
No, sorry. Do you want to go for the next one?
Yeah, I will go for the next one. So, award for technical excellence.
No, we just did that one.
That's the one. I am still with you guys.
You're just not listening.
I will tell you what I'm doing, but I'll tell you off voice or microphone.
Don't want to know. I'll do that on video.
No, it is exciting, but I will tell you. Sorry. Anyway, best horror themed room escape. So we have Ouija in Bournemouth, Outbreak in Jersey, Butcher at Escapology. Is that how you say it?
I think it's Escapologic.
Yeah. Escapologic. Hell in a Cell, Alien Escape, Room Escape, Southend. I have been lucky enough to go in Hell in a Cell, and I thought it was fantastic.
I remember you saying that was amazing.
It was out of the escape rooms that I've done... It was one of the best escape rooms where I've felt like I was in a horror film because it was so open, like in terms of the rooms and the you know, the walkways that we had to walk through. It kind of felt like being in a Saw film.
Oh, wow.
Which I feel like, it's, you know, these horror escape rooms want to try and recreate. Because let's face it, in the Saw films, they have to solve a puzzle or they have to do something. So Hell in a Cell very much for me felt like Saw.
Awesome. I would have loved that.
It is insane. And are they still running?
I'm not too sure, actually. I don't know. I'd have to find out. I know there was quite a bit of a buzz when it opened and when you guys went down and a lot of people were wanting to do it. But it's quite far from us. So
I believe sure. Yeah, like I said, I believe the company that created that event was called Dark Hour Events or something like that. I just remember Dark Hour. So it would be lovely to see some more, you know, creative stuff from them guys, because they really, I remember their, like they had a trailer for the attraction.
Yeah.
And it was a really good trailer.
Yeah. No, I think I remember seeing it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I know Ouija in Bournemouth, Michael Bolton and the gang really recently done that.
Yes, they did that. They said it was incredible as well, actually. I think Michael's done all of these, actually. He gets about, doesn't he? I think Michael's done all of these. So Unfortunately, we haven't done any, so we can't comment as such. We're not very good with escape games. We're not very smart. I really enjoyed...
I usually end up crying.
You end up crying. I remember doing Panic. That was a couple of years ago now, again by the Twisted Attractions guys. That was one of my favourites, but unfortunately that was a few years ago now, so they wouldn't be involved here. But so Hell in a Cell, you may be biased because it's the only one you've been to, but that's your winner, is it, Sean?
That is my winner. I think it is a bit... I'm being a bit biased. And I'm not... Have they won before or previously?
I'm not too sure, actually. I can't remember last year. I'm not too sure. We'll have to check. We'll have to check the previous... Anyone listening and on the website, scarecon.org, listening with us, tell us. Head back. You're probably shouting at the screen now. But fair play to all the... It's always good to see escape rooms are popping up everywhere. And I know you guys in the States are already fed up of them because they're popping up around every corner. I know at Transworld last year, they had a whole dedicated floor to escape games. But it's nice that we have a little bit of a horror theme attached to them over in this country. Escape Hell in a Cell, it's all that little bit more darker. So let's carry on. Best new event.
Okay, so we've got Southport After Dark, Yorkshire Scarodrome, Q Extreme Terror Scare Park, Awakening Pure Evil, Margate Madhouse, and Contaminated. Oh, I see the pun there. Kent.
Contaminated. Nice. Congratulations to all these new events. Obviously, a new event is always scary, always difficult, so fair play. And well done for becoming shortlisted on the 2017 nominees for the SCAR Awards at ScareCon. However, I haven't visited any.
No.
No. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to. Sometimes you get you sort of get lost in your ways of, you know, where you're going and what you're doing. And especially last year when we were America, we sort of come back and just did the stuff we knew.
Yeah.
So we just didn't give
Plus,
chance.
We were too skint to travel.
There was that, yeah. But guys, you know, Southport, Yorkshire, Cook Extreme, Awakening, Margate and Contaminated, fair play. Sean, did you get a chance to visit any?
Unfortunately, no. I didn't get to go to any of the attractions. That's my part.
But like we say, fair play for getting on there. It'd be cool to see who wins Best New Event, because it's always good to see how these nominees and these winners move on. I remember when, we'll mention it again, Twisted Attraction started off with one tiny little maze in the middle of Birmingham City Centre.
Yeah.
The impressive stuff they managed to get on to do. PUP, Lee and Sarah, did Home Haunts. It's really impressive to see how much they've moved on. They've now... you know, they do attractions with the Americans, the Heretic coming over. So, yeah, so we're really looking forward to see who wins this Best New Event, and good luck to all involved. Moving on, we have Best Multi-Event Attraction Producer. So these are the companies that do different events throughout the year, not just at Halloween, out-of-season and in-season events. We have, we mentioned them earlier, Twisted Attractions. They did Hellfest and the Terror Farm. Hide and Shriek, they did Alien Escape, Delectably Dead, Dead Center, and Scream Park. Events to Scare, they did Southport, After Dark, Woodland of Terror, and Dead Pose. Doncaster Fear Factory, they did Black Christmas, The House That Drew Breath, and Fear Factory. Secrets Beneath, they did Bobo, Circus of the Damned, and Outbreak. And we have Immersive Events, they did Lockdown, Origin Scare Maze, Twisted Fairy Tales, and they're now even doing even more stuff in the Darna prison and the two new prisons that they've just took over as well. This, I think, is going to be a tough one. Mm. I visited Twisted Attractions and I've always been impressed with the stuff they've done. I preferred Birmingham stuff over Penkridge stuff. I think some people will agree with that. But the stuff they did in Birmingham was amazing. Immersive Events, they are quite immersive. That it's in the name. You're in a prison. It's all believable.
When did you visit them? Did you visit them last year?
Yeah, Immersive. I did Halloween last year. I did it Christmas last year, and I did them again last month as well.
Slut.
That was nice. I have a lot of love for the Immersive Events guys. Joel and the team.
And but, it's so close to your work.
And it's 20 minutes from my house, so of course I'm going to visit as often as I can. But they do some really good out-of-the-box kind of stuff there. But whether it can beat the likes of, you know, Hide and Shriek, I've heard some amazing stuff. Events to Scare do amazing zombie activities. Secrets Beneath over in Jersey, they've just come over to mainland England with their escape game. You know, those guys are doing really, really good stuff. And Doncaster Fear Factory, that's the, you know, the guys from G&G, PUP works with them as well. So there's a lot of big names in that category. I couldn't call it.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I think the best thing is, you know, when the scars are full flowing and everyone's having a couple of drinks, that's the nice atmosphere, and you know, you finally find out who's the winner.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that one. Sean, what have we got next?
Next we have best European event. So we have Halloween Fright Nights at Wallaby Holland, Horror Nights at Europa Park, Halloween Horror Fest at Movie Park Germany, The Night Realm.
The Nightmare Realm.
Oh, The Nightmare Realm, Republic of Ireland, Horror Nights in Holland, Pharmaphobia at Causey Farm, Republic of Ireland. Am I right? Am I saying that right?
I think you're right, yeah, I think so. Well, we're going to say Europa Park, aren't we?
Yeah, of course. I know we both have been to their event and love it, and going to be returning this year.
Yeah, totally. And they have won for the last 3 years as well.
However, I don't feel as they were as strong as they've previously been.
I would agree. Now, we could argue that was because we went on night one.
Yeah.
We did go on night one, whereas previously we've gone later on in the run. So night one is more of a staff preview. Well, we were there for press night, basically. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, unfortunately, I think they may have had a couple of actor issues with scare zones.
Yeah.
The overall atmosphere just wasn't quite what it used to be. It's still an awesome event, and their houses are still really fun. I really do like it. But yeah, I think that night, because we were only there for the one time as well, it's turned into an event that it's more like the American events. You need more than one night, 100% at Halloween, Horror Nights at Europa Park now. You can't get it all done in one night. But it's got to be up there for us because it is the only one we've had a chance to do. I've heard the Wallaby Holland one is insane. I've heard that's really good. And the Movie Park Germany one, I've heard that's really quite impressive as well. But yeah, I think we'd all agree that we're biased on this one, guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, but good luck to everyone. There's a few more there from, you know, Republic of Ireland. So, you know, maybe those impressed the Scare Tour team and...
I think a few of those won last year.
I think they may have.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Right then, what's next?
Next up is Best Street Team and Live Entertainment. We've got Primeval, Broadwich Haunt Fest, Frightmare at Over Farm, Orton Towers, Tully's Shocktoberfest, and Screamfest Burton. I love a good street team.
You know what? Street team is something that is sometimes missed at a lot of events, and when it's done correctly, it can make the event absolutely fantastic. Street team just adds so much to an event, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love this. I think it's one of the things that gets overlooked as well.
Totally.
I feel like the street theatre and street team and live entertainment is something that's kind of caught on a couple of years ago and has slowly been put into more scare events.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Helen Day in episode 41. If you haven't listened to it, head back to it. She did a lot of the street theatre at Tully's Shocktoberfest. And she was also in Cirque du Soleil at the moment and in Tim Burton film as well. But we discussed it quite in length, the fact that street teams do get overlooked, but when they're done correctly and not badly, they can make an event something really, really quite incredible. Orton Towers were always usually good. I remember the Orton Towers Ancestors. They were really fun.
Yeah, I like them. It was very kind of Disney, that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Very family friendly. The costumes were good. I just felt, because of, you know, the spacing at Altham Towers and how big it is, it was, they looked a bit, you know, miniature. I don't know the best way to describe it, but they needed something, maybe like a float or something to go on. I don't know. I know that they don't do that.
They've used stuff like that before, haven't they?
Have they?
I don't think for the ancestors, but I've seen guys out and about with them.
Like driving around a big boat thing, like the pirate guy. They could have done something like that. Mm. Yeah, that would have been good. I always say that Tully's Shocktoberfest are kind of the pioneers in at least UK.
I liked that the nurses were slutty again this year.
Yeah, yeah. We like the love slutty girls, definitely.
Because you took the sluttiness away out.
Like, yeah, a couple of years ago, it wasn't as good.
You were just nice nurses.
Yeah.
No, we like the sluts.
Thanks to Erin and the team, definitely. And Broadwich Hornfest, they had an awesome street scene when we went at ScareCon.
Oh, yeah.
They were really, really impressive. It's a smaller space as well, so they can get you from every angle. Screenfest Burton, like we say, they try and build that up. Sometimes I think they look after their mazes more than their street team, but over the last few years, I think that's... Like you say, Sean, it's sort of building up over the last few years.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right, so... Next up we have, there's only a couple more now, guys, best use of special effects / animatronics as a set piece. This is the one we were talking about earlier Dr. Fright's one last night.
Yeah.
So, best use of SFX animatronics as a set piece. We have the swamp during the COVID of 13 at Tully's Shocktoberfest. Mm. The moors / swamp scene at Scream Factory Teesside. Circular buzzsaw at Terror on the Farm at Farmageddon. Levitating witch in The Witch Hunt at Edinburgh Dungeon. Oversized clown puppet in Carnival at Terror at Primeval. Giant skeletal hands in Festino's Forgotten Funhouse at Screamland Margate. I've only seen a couple of these, but they all sound friggin' impressive, don't they? There's always this thing about animatronics in scare attractions. I know there's a hell of a lot of animatronics used over in America, and we have some attractions here that are using a little bit more of them. Us three, we all prefer actor based scares, don't we?
Yes,
reckon.
But Terror on the Farm still got me.
Yes, I do think that animatronics are, if there's only one or two within the attraction and they're impressive, big, over the top animatronics, they can be amazing, like massive, big, oversized clown puppets at, you know, in Carnival, you know, massive hands or, you know, things like that. When they're impressively done and they're over the top in your face, then, I remember a few of them at Howl & Scream in America. Yeah. Some of those huge, gigantic puppets got the best scares of the night. But yeah, that circular buzzsaw at Terror on the Farm at Farmageddon, me and Hannah... we did like the Scooby-Doo pose and one of us jumps into each other's hands.
I think it was you in my arms.
Yeah, I think it was. The problem with that is that it was at the back of a scene as most of the people had gone past it. Mm. I liked the actual animatronic, but only two people saw it, me and you.
Here, I want to just quickly butt in and say this. I like the fact, you know, the oversized, you know, puppetry effects, obviously the skeleton hands. I think they're good, you know, real effects, if that makes sense. You know, it's something that, you know it isn't real, but yet it's attached to a person or a person is controlling it. Whereas an animatronic, you know it's not real. And, you know, once it's finished doing what it does, it, like, kind of resets and then does it again, resets and does it again. And so you... For me, personally, there's no sense of danger or there's nothing scary. But the effects used in the swamp at Coven at Tully's Farm...
It was really smart.
It was smart. So obviously we're talking about the swamp scene. That was really smart. And obviously the ending at Coven 13, I felt that was really good special effects because it involved... Well, it didn't involve, but it... The the audience and, you know, the visitors were actually part of the scene in a way, because I'm just going to say it, they used a wind effect and had a witch kind of swinging on a podium in the middle, which you walked around, and they had strobe lights. So with these wind machines, which were strong enough, you know, to push you, it had like this black cloth material that was flying everywhere, and you can imagine what it looked like in strobe lights.
Oh yeah.
So as a special effect, something so simple worked really, really well.
Yeah, for me. Definitely. It was a really impressive maze overall. That was actually. I really enjoyed it. It's great to see that scare attractions can use animatronics, but use them well. Mm. So good luck to everyone for this year's award. We are now on to our last award, which is a new one for this year. It's in association with Home Haunt UK. That's myself, Sean, and Lee. We run the Home Haunt UK Facebook page. If you guys run a charity or a Home Haunt, something a little bit smaller, then head over to the Home Haunt UK Facebook page and share what you do. We've been lucky enough to team up with ScareCon this year. So that's Home Haunt teaming up with ScareCon to bring you the best home / charity haunt winner. Well, nomination. So the nominations are... Baron Samedis, sorry if I didn't say your name, Ryan. Baron Samedis Halloween Haunt in Calne, Wiltshire. We've got Scare Zone by Stuart Kite in North Allerton. Neil Potter in Keister on Sea. Jamie Knight in Spalding. Neil Bradley from Crewe. And we have the Horrock House of Terror by Chris Walton in Lancashire as well. Unfortunately, because it's been so crazy with ScareTrack and Sean with your new job, we didn't get a chance to visit these attractions. But
I don't even know where half of these places are.
No, they're in imaginary places.
I know Crewe and Lancashire.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I know Lee and myself and you guys. I know you've put on events yourself, but me and Lee, I know we've always... Well, before we started doing bigger things and, you know, moving on, I would always do a charity Halloween event. That's how I got into things. And so it's so nice that, you know, Michael has accepted this as a category, because it gives the smaller folk and the people that, you know, really do have creative ideas
100%,
a chance to be recognised. And so I absolutely love the fact that this category is in. And I know Lee has, whether he's visited or seen or been in contact with every single person here.
Yes.
I know he raves about all these people.
Definitely. Yeah. He's definitely taken a lead role. So we appreciate that from Lee, from obviously Frequent Fear, but also Home Haunt UK. Yeah. We've either seen photos or video that have been sent in to ScareTour and Home Haunt UK. And that's, because obviously it's difficult to go to every single attraction, never mind a home haunt as well, over the Halloween period. So, but yeah, like Sean said, very deserving nominations up. It's good to see that there's people doing home haunts in the UK. In America, it's a slightly bigger thing, so it's nice that we have a few guys flying the flag over here. So, good luck to everyone who's been nominated for a Scar Award. Make sure you catch up with us at ScareCon. Say hi, let us know who you are. If we don't know you already, it'd be good to get to know you. If you can't make it over there to ScareCon this year, don't worry, we'll do a live video of the Scar Awards like we did last year. And like I say, just chat to us over Facebook. It'd be great to hear from you guys. So, now it's time for some listener feedback.
Our last episode was all about the evolution of extreme attractions with the guys from Frequent Fear. We've had some great feedback from that show, so thank you very much.
Danny Heim said, so good. Thank you very much, Danny.
Yeah, thank you, Danny. Matthias also commented on that show saying that was excellent. Well, thank you very, very much, Matthias.
Yes, so I recently went to go see the Addams Family musical.
Was it good?
I liked it, yes. I didn't love it, I liked it.
Okay.
I would go see it again because it's a show that, you know, it's a once in a blue moon show.
Yeah.
It's, I don't think, I mean, I think it was cast, I think the cast is good. It was casted well, but it just has Les Dennis as Uncle Fester, you know, and
that's a bit random.
Although Les Dennis did do a very good job of portraying Uncle Fester, and it really didn't look like Les Dennis at all. You just
still
couldn't
know
help.
It's Les Dennis.
You still know it, Les. Yeah. So that was the only thing that I didn't like.
Was it based on any of the films?
It wasn't based on any of the films. Oh. So it was based on Wednesday Addams falling in love with a normal boy. You know, typical. You know, the storyline. I remember having a discussion actually with Nick Hudson about this. The storyline is a bit meh. However, the actual songs, if you listen to them and, you know, download the music or, you know, YouTube them, the songs are good, you know, in this show. The songs are pretty strong. I like quite a lot of the songs in this musical. And the sets were really good. So I would definitely recommend, if you're a Halloween fan and you like things scary, go see The Addams Family because it's a nice day out.
Totally. And I think that's why we've put this in this last little bit, because we had some listener feedback on the photo you posted when you were at The Addams Family. I think the listener feedback agreed with you, Sean.
Yeah, so yeah, Chris Chapman was in touch and said he saw an amateur production a few years ago. The plot, like we were just talking about, was fairly basic. But at least the songs aren't overwhelmed by all the cast singing at once. And I think he's correct. You know, the songs, there's quite a lot of, you know, solos. And it was just an entertaining night out. It's a West End production and it's on tour. So go see it because it's just a nice watch.
Awesome. Cheers, Sean. So that brings us to the end of listener feedback.
Remember, you can still support the show by liking and sharing our page on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat and Instagram. Just search ScareTrack. Also, get yourself some ScareTrack merch. We have mugs, t-shirts and hoodies. Just head over to www.smart-fx.co.uk.
And remember, Hannah did say that if she sees you in one of our t-shirts at ScareCon, she owes you a beer.
I did say that.
You did say
that. Oh my god.
Back when I wasn't skint. No, that still stands. I have to uphold what I said.
Yeah, so like we say, smart-fx.co.uk. Thank you everyone who's already bought some merch. We really, really, really do appreciate that. But we also just really do appreciate you guys downloading and listening to the show, whether it be you guys in the UK, in Germany, in America. Thank you so, so much. Tell your friends if they like haunted houses, scare attractions, let them know about the show. Podcasts aren't a huge media. We're trying to get a little bit bigger and better. So thank you so, so much. So that brings us to the end of episode 44 of the Scare Trap podcast. Once again, thank you to the Frequent Fear guys who joined us on the last show. We look forward to seeing Lee and Gaz, as well as all your listeners at ScareCon. If you can't be there, be sure to get in contact with us via social media. This will be the last show before ScareCon now, as it is only in a couple of weeks. So make sure you listen to this show before ScareCon, because when we're there, we will have a bumper episode with loads of stuff. We'll have the seminars, the exhibitions, the talks, the workshops, the scare ball, chatting to fans, haunt owners. It's going to be a humongous episode, maybe two-parter, from ScareCon at Alton Towers on the 23rd of June. So make sure you either get your last few tickets or listen to the show. Like I say, you can interact with us whilst we're there as well, mainly on our Facebook page. We'll be doing a few live videos, and fingers crossed, our Extreme Haunt panel will be live on Facebook as well. So as soon as we know the timings, we will let you know, so we can not only have the 300, 400 plus people in the room, we can also ask all your questions that you've left us on our social media. We can do a live video of the very first panel at ScareCon.
And also, I just want to quickly add, this year at ScareCon, I will, for the first time ever, be able to walk around with you guys.
Yeah, you will.
I know. This, I absolutely cannot wait, you know, to just chill and enjoy this year's ScareCon. And it's going to be so much different from all my other ScareCons, because I get to go to all the seminars, I get to go to all the workshops, I get to have a look around the trade floor, you know, so I cannot wait to literally be right next to you guys, you know, obviously Mikey and Hannah, doing interviews, and hopefully we can get Doc Hayes back on the show.
Yeah.
I remember last year we did actually interview him really briefly, and I think we got a couple of, you know, intros, you know, this is Dr. Hayes, and tune into ScareCon and all that stuff. And unfortunately, we weren't recording.
I was too drunk. You took over and couldn't press record.
I got him saying, "You're listening to ScareTruck."
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay. Have we ever used that?
Yeah, we used it. We used it last year. Don't worry. We used it. I might use that a few times again, actually.
Will it? Yes.
Definitely. And good luck to Dr. Hayes. Actually, we're recording this on the 8th of June. Dr. Hayes is actually up as being a member of Parliament. So he may get voted in today. I don't think he will, but he may get voted. It's real. Yeah,
it is real.
Kemp Town and Brighton, isn't it?
Yes. I've seen it all.
Good luck to Dr. Hayes and the Circus of Horrors, guys. And we look forward to seeing you guys at ScareCon. Thank you for listening to the show, guys. Thanks again to the Return of the Living podcast, guys. It's always great to listen to your show and see how you guys are doing. So thank you for asking your listeners about any questions regarding our panel at ScareCon this year. Sean, thank you for joining us again. It's been great to have you back.
Thank you for having me. I cannot wait to do this all at ScareCon. My very first kind of live show, and I'm going to get really stuck in.
Yeah, ScareCon 2 weeks tomorrow as of recording.
And if I see you wearing a ScareCon t-shirt, me, Hannah, and whoever's wearing a ScareCon t-shirt will have shots as well.
Ooh,
shots of ScareCon t-shirts.
That could get a messy day, Sean.
Hell yeah.
Hannah, thank you as always for joining us as well.
Thank you. Sorry, now I'm just giggling about looking at myself in a mirror in a ScareTruck t-shirt so that I can have a shot.
So guys, thank you. We shall see you at ScareCon, or we'll see you on the next episode 45 in a few weeks' time. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.